At the end of February, the Prince of Wales visited the Western Marble Arch Mosque in London. He was keen to speak to some members of the Jewish community about the rise of anti-Semitism in the United Kingdom. He spoke to young students who were trying to tackle this upsurge in attacks and death threats. And one described it as an explosion of hatred on the Jews. William was there with a yarmulke. I had to do a bit of homework there. The yarmulke that the gentlemen wear, and women too, on their heads. It's worn to honour God and also to acknowledge that he is there watching over everything. And I watched a short film clip of this occasion when the prince also met a 94-year-old lady called Renee Salt, and she is a Holocaust survivor herself. And they sat facing one another on the comfy but hardback chairs, and he was listening intently to some of her memories. But what struck me most about this encounter was the loving way in which William just slowly leant forward and reached out, and he very gently enclosed one of her hands in his as he listened. For a short moment only, he clasped that wrinkled hand as an expression of solidarity and compassion. It was very moving, and it spoke more than any words. And that gesture of hand-holding came into my mind as I was reading through the verses from Jeremiah in preparation for today. In verse 32, God remembers his relationship with the people of Israel and Judah. And this verse is a wonderful reminder of the kind of God that we have. And I'll repeat that in a minute. I'm sometimes aware of how easily some folk will concentrate on the wrath and the judgment and the punishment, say, of God, the God of the Old Testament. And yes, all these aspects of his character are found in Scripture because he is a just, righteous God. But there are so many times as well when our Creator reveals himself in the qualities of mercy and forgiveness and tenderness. The bottom line is, he's a God of love. It's his very nature, and he can't be anything else. In his own words, God Almighty reminds us this very day how lovingly he took his people by the hand, brought them out of the land of Egypt. He too was holding hands. And this gives us a really intimate insight into God's feelings for us too, as we play our own part in the world's history. He emphasizes his passion for us when he says that he loved them as a husband loves his wife. We're reminded in some measure of the depth of divine love during this season of Lent, when we reflect and are reflecting on Christ's own journey, walking determinedly with the deepest of compassion for humanity towards the cross. He understood only too well what the destination was going to look like. Remember his sweat falling like blood as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's something that can actually happen. It is a physical condition in conditions of stress. After the death of Alexei Navalny recently, I was surprised but elated to find out that he had become a Christian in the last few years of his life. Some believe it was after he had been poisoned in the year 2020 by Novichok. He said in court that his faith gave him clarity and focus, as his life became increasingly grim and difficult. And those last years, very much they were defined by that Christian faith. And it was his faith that gave him courage and motivation to face up to Vladimir Putin, one of the most devious tyrants of our own age. And Alexei Navalny, I feel, did indeed follow in the footsteps of his Saviour and Lord. That very same Saviour, Jesus Christ, is referred to in Jeremiah here, verse 31. Because when the Lord says, "The day is coming when I'll make a new covenant with the people," he's pointing quite deliberately to the Messiah himself. The old covenant was an external thing, brought down from Mount Sinai on cold tablets of stone. The new covenant was going to be written warmly deep inside God's people on their hearts. And we were reminded of that very movingly, that new covenant, just a couple of Sundays ago, when Sandy Gunn humbly led us in our communion services. May we never forget the tremendous blessing we have as Christian believers in this place, where we've got freedom to glorify God, to worship him, and to share communion together without fear. And yet, by my own way of thinking, one of the greatest of all God's gifts in this passage is where he makes the solemn promise he will forgive the people's wickedness and never again remember their sins. And of course, that's what Easter is all about. And here we have that promise, not just for the folk back then, but for you and for me today, accomplished, as I say, on the cross. We have a God who makes all things new. We are his people, loved beyond our own imagining. To him be all the glory, world without end. Amen.